T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, world, and welcome in to Trust the Tape, episode 1,372,912. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh, alongside my co-host, the great Dane Brugler, and we have ourselves a brand new college football season, Dane.
Can't wait.
Well, what do you mean, can't wait? It already started.
It did.
I watched Colorado State and Hawaii play
week
over
zero.
The weekend, sir.
You're right. We had Wyoming, New Mexico State, a few FCS teams, but
some real nail biters and a lot of top-end talent out there.
Yeah, it gets a little more juicier this coming weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Monday, AT&T Stadium.
That's right. Well, on Sunday, Sunday is AT&T Stadium, right? LSU Miami.
Okay, I thought LSU Miami was Monday. Okay.
No, Monday we have Virginia Tech, Florida State. It's going to be a solid opening weekend. Saturday we've got Louisville, Alabama. I don't think that'll be really that close.
It will be if Lamar Jackson's allowed to play.
Yeah, he's no longer.
That'd be okay.
Yeah. Auburn Washington to me is the game of the weekend. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. Pac-12, I think probably the favorite against an Auburn team that we know how good they were last year. They lose Kerryon Johnson, but they bring back Jarrett Stidham. Plenty on defense. That's gonna be a fun one to watch. So there are plenty of storylines to watch for opening weekend, and heck, it's gonna be real college football, and that's a lot of fun.
Okay, so on today's episode of Trust the Tape, we got a very special treat. As I guess I should say, you're not just Dane Brugler. You're Dane Brugler from The Athletic,
TheAthletic.com,
the king of the NFL draft and college football at The Athletic.
I'm just following you because, you know, we're kind of co-workers. I do a lot of work with 105.3 The Fan.
We are the kings of 105.3 The Fan and DFW.
Now,
The Athletic.
The Athletic.
And DallasCowboys.com.
Exactly.
We're just kind of doing things.
We ride each other's coattails.
So Dane has his top 32 big board because there's 32 picks in a first round. Every year that the Patriots don't cheat, there are 32 picks in the first round. So the top 32 big board is coming up, and we'll preview the college football season and the week that we got going on. And
predictions for the season.
That is going to happen on today's podcast. Now, I was wondering, this is a little bit off topic, but I just was curious.
Yes.
Have you ever considered gambling a ton on college football early in the season? Because you're one of the few people who, before your average fan, like, I'm going to make predictions about the season.
Right.
But as you mentioned, I know every prospect that left these schools. Mm. I don't know who's taking their place yet. My draft work starts a couple months down the road.
Right.
Dane Brugler already knows every player. Why don't you just get banned from every sports book and just make all the money?
Do they have, like,
I remember last year when I lost money betting on Florida State over NC State, and I told you I put it on a bet thing, and you were like, why'd you do that? NC State has all the best players in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, college football's it's hard. I mean, Auburn, Washington, for example.
John Ross.
Well, where's the game going to be played? It's going to be played in Atlanta. So it's going to be a heavy Auburn presence. So they're going to have probably the home field advantage. But Washington, you get Chris Peterson all that time to prepare. That's tough. Opening weekend's really tough. Once we get into maybe, you know, mid-September, late September, then I think we start to understand who these players are, who these teams are, kind of the direction they're going. You know, late September, we get a really fun Ohio State-Penn State matchup. That'll be a good one. So right now, I think there's still plenty of unknown, but
this is the time to capitalize, Dane.
Hey,
off the air, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to make a 50-team parlay.
I'll tell you, find out the spread on FAU and Oklahoma, because I tell you what, FAU.
Do you think Oklahoma, let's say the athletic director or the president, when they scheduled that game and then Lane Kiffin got hired, do you think they looked at each other and went, dang it, this is supposed to be a preseason game. It's supposed to be a layup.
Yeah, and it's not. And FAU is so much more than just Lane Kiffin. Devin Singletary, the running back, he's a junior. I mean, I've asked this of people before, but who led the nation in rushing touchdowns last year?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. Rashad Penny, maybe. Saquon Barkley. Lamar Jackson. No, it was Devin Singletary. He had almost 10 more than the next guy in rushing touchdowns. He had 32. They've got a tight end who's legit. They got a middle linebacker who's legit. I thought it was funny. Lincoln Riley said that this middle linebacker is the best one they've seen since Roquan Smith. Well, Roquan Smith, that's the last game they played, so that's not saying much.
Well, I don't know if he meant it that way.
But he's a really good player. He's a really good player. So FAU, I don't really care about point spreads. That doesn't interest me. But I would be interested to know if it's a couple touchdowns. I don't know. FAU, I think they're going to keep it close for at least much of the game. We don't, I mean, Kyler Murray's not Baker Mayfield. We know how talented he is. We know the baseball angle, but is he going to be, I mean, Lincoln Riley's obviously one of the best offensive minds in college football, in all of football. Is that going to be enough? And Kyler Murray, is he going to be able to run that offense to not the same level as Baker, but at least some similarities there where you're going to put up a lot of points?
I'm going to find you the spread. Here we go. It's 21 points.
Mm.
This is not a gambling podcast, no. Sir. It's not legal yet, kind of.
Opening weekend's always tough. That's a tough one because it wouldn't surprise me if Oklahoma in the fourth quarter just kind of, you know, runs away with it a little bit. But I do think for, say, three quarters maybe, it's going to be a little closer than most would think.
All right, let's get this show on the road. You have the great Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter for all of your barbecue information. He can teach you to grill anything. And
how's your grill? You got a green egg, right?
I do have a green egg. Doesn't mean that I use it the way that you're supposed to use it.
I say I've caught a couple of your tweets. You're putting out pictures of...
Oh, I'm cooking.
Yeah.
And I cook well.
But you do hot and fast.
Yeah,
right?
I don't use the plate deal and control my temperature. I cook at somewhere between 600 and 700 degrees.
What's the longest cook you've done?
However long it takes a chicken to cook at 600 degrees.
Gosh.
Yeah, I did some
half an hour.
I did some whole chickens. Yeah. Well, I broke them up and cut them up.
Yeah, pieced them. Okay. I mean,
not long. You know what my favorite is? My favorite is fajitas.
Mm.
6 minutes. Mm. Done.
So basically, you
flap it on, flip it over, cut it up.
You got a green egg so you could grill, basically.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
So far. Let me get my basics down.
Okay.
Let me just get my basics
crawl
down.
Crawl before you can walk.
Now, where were we? So if you're not familiar, and if you're on this podcast, most of you probably are familiar, but if you're not familiar, Dane is the greatest resource when it comes to the NFL draft in the entire country, for my money. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, is what we like to say. And so when it comes to who to keep an eye on going into the college football season, there is no better person to ask. There are 32 picks in the first round of a draft, so a big board of 32 seems like a pretty good place to start. And I'm going to hold you to this. If anyone ever moves on this board throughout the year, I'm going to tell you missed.
Fair enough.
But let's get through it. Let's get started.
We talked about it. A lot of people have talked about it. The year of the defensive linemen. And I think that holds true with my first top 32. Six of the top nine are defensive linemen, including the top two. For me, my favorite going for the number one pick going into the season is Nick Bosa, Joey's little brother. They're like carbon copies of each other. And I mean that with, in all the good ways. So with Nick Bosa, we'll see what he can do as a junior, take that next step. The Ohio State defensive line is pretty loaded, so I don't think that he's going to see maybe the double or triple teams that his brother did. He's a favorite going in to be number one. Ed Oliver, number two.
Let me go back to number one for a second, because yesterday on the radio we were talking about, I forgot who wrote it and it doesn't matter, but the Khalil Mack, if he really is available for trade and if the cost really would be, and the talk was, well, if you expected to have a high pick, maybe you could get it done for a one and a two. If you were picking in the top three and you thought, we'll just pretend, quarterbacks might go in front of you and you could be picking Nick Bosa.
Right.
If you're an NFL team, would you rather have Nick Bosa on a five-year rookie deal or 27-year-old Khalil Mack and pay him $22 million a year?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough because you're talking about a proven commodity compared to one that you feel pretty confident about.
And the one you feel pretty confident about would make about a third of the money, probably, maybe a quarter of the money.
Yeah, I mean, you're still making good money as a top five pick, but not to
22,
what, Khalil Mack. Yeah,
year.
Khalil Mack is, I mean, Derek Carr is the highest paid player on that team. He's trying to be the second highest paid. And, you know, for wherever he ends up, he's probably going to be, if not the first, the second highest paid player on that team. That's a good question.
Now, you also have to give up your second round pick. So you couldn't pick Nick Bosa, and you have to give up the second pick or the top three pick in the second round. You passing on that deal?
So basically, I get Nick Bosa and a second rounder, or I get Khalil Mack.
Yes.
And with Khalil Mack, I have to sign.
You have to pay him right then.
5 year.
$110 million deal.
Yeah.
$105, $110.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. I mean,
We're draft guys. We're taking Bosa in the second rounder.
Absolutely. I would lean that way, but that would be tough because, again, you're passing on a proven commodity who is ready to step in today and help your team win a football game.
And Ed Oliver, who you mentioned is number two on your big board at Houston, defensive tackle, the production numbers are freaking awesome. For a guy who plays the interior, I think he had like 70 tackles last year, 20 of them behind the line of scrimmage, maybe a little over 20. And is the praise too high when discussing him? I think about Aaron Donald. A little bit undersized in terms of weight, but you're talking freak athlete, you're talking plays in the backfield, just an incredible force of nature.
Yeah, and look, Aaron Donald, he has his struggles versus the run. He's outstanding as a pass rusher, and that's really what matters from an interior lineman if you're going to consider drafting them high. But, I mean, the Rams were they were bad against the run last year.
It really doesn't matter in the NFL.
Exactly,
matters a little bit. You'd like to be good against the run.
Well, that's why you have a big nose tackle right next to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you can help clean up that kind of stuff. So Ed Oliver, I'm expecting a big year. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be in the Heisman hunt. Ndamukong Suh had one of the best seasons I've ever seen from a defensive player when he was at Nebraska. He should have won the Heisman that year. Ed Oliver, he could have that type of season this year. We'll have to see.
And nobody will vote for him because he doesn't get yards and touchdowns.
And it just depends on who else is, you know. This year, we don't really have a runaway for the Heisman. You know, we don't have that quarterback. Or, I mean, I think Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin is going to put up a big year. To me, I think he's the favorite for the Heisman. But if he gets injured or doesn't have quite the production, Bryce Love, we'll see if he can match what he did last year. So I think Ed Oliver should be at least in the conversation. Houston faces two Power 5 conference teams this year, Texas Tech and Arizona. Two offenses like to throw it around a lot. So he'll have plenty of opportunities to, you know, make plays in the backfield against those two teams. We'll see how he does. But I think Nick Bosa, Ed Oliver, I think those are top two, and then there's a gap after that.
Number three.
Top quarterback, Justin Herbert. He's a Eugene guy, grew up there, so stayed home, played for Oregon, really filled out his frame, big guy. And I talked to some of his teammates, including Jalen Jelks, and they just rave about him as a person, as a leader, the way he's grown. And I think those intangibles, the physical skill set, he still needs to develop in certain areas, but for a true junior, the way he's been able to develop up to this point, teams are really excited about what he could be.
Number four. By the way, if you're the Oregon quarterback, that's okay now. We've come to the realization that you can play in whatever spread you want. And the NFL is now cool with it because they're finally copying it.
Well, not only that, but, you know, Chip Kelly, Mark Helfrich, no longer there. Yeah, Mario Cristobal is the head coach of that offense. So we'll have to see how his style, how he wants to run things there, and how that affects Herbert and his development. At four, another defensive lineman, Raekwon Davis from Alabama. I put my write-up on him. You know, the popular hypothetical, if LeBron James played football, what would it look like? This might be the closest guy we've seen to a LeBron James playing.
If LeBron just ate some extra potatoes?
Yeah, he'd have to put on a little bit of weight. Yeah, because he's Raekwon's north of 300 pounds. Not quite the freak athlete that LeBron is, but we're still talking about an impressive physical specimen.
Was he the best D lineman on Alabama last year?
Daron Payne had his moments, but Raekwon Davis, when he...
By the numbers, he was.
Right, and when he flashed, oh, man, you got really excited. I mean, in the playoffs, it was Daron Payne, but
right.
Raekwon Davis, I think he has a chance to leave Tuscaloosa as the best defensive lineman that Nick Saban has groomed there.
Whew, that's pretty good.
Yeah, another defensive lineman at number five, Rashawn Gary, who might be the biggest freak of them all. You know, he looks like a defensive tackle. He moves like a linebacker. They play him on the edge. He's 6'5", 285, 290, somewhere in there. He's going to blow up the combine. Telling you right now, it's going to be freaky what he does. I think that Michigan defense is the reason why they have a shot at the playoff this year. And they finally have a quarterback with Shea Patterson. So Michigan is a team that's, don't sleep on them. I think they absolutely have a shot this year.
Continue. We haven't gotten to the entire All-American defensive line of a certain team yet. I'm wondering where all those guys are.
They're coming. They're coming. Okay. Next up, we have Greedy Williams at number 6, the corner from LSU. And I mean, how great of a name is that?
That's an incredible name, especially for a cornerback.
Well, and the fact that
Greedy means he's going to take your football.
He did lead the SEC in interceptions last year.
Oh, that means people are throwing at him. He must not be very good.
He's a redshirt freshman last year.
Okay, that explains it.
So this year, he's a redshirt sophomore. He's draft eligible. Teams are going to understand, okay, this guy's pretty good. Not only does he have the size you're looking for, he's about 6'1", 190 pounds, has some length, but he's a really phenomenal athlete. Even when he looks like he's kind of out of sync, he's able to recover so quickly. So Greedy Williams, he's the real deal.
His name is not Greedy. What was his birth name?
Andres.
I might go with Greedy.
Yeah.
Okay, Greedy's good.
A-N-D-R-A-E-Z.
Yeah, we're going to go Greedy. Exactly. Greedy Williams it is.
Yeah. At number 7, we have another defensive lineman, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, who Mississippi State, a little bit of a sleeper team this year. They bring back quite a bit. New head coach, Joe Moorhead, but they've got some talent. I wouldn't be shocked if they pull an upset against one of the big time teams this year in Alabama, think they can beat, a team like that.
You think they could beat Stephen F. Austin in their opener?
I think they'll be okay, yeah.
Okay. I can't find a point spread on that one.
I think there's a reason why.
Okay.
Jeffrey Simmons, he's going to be a Joe Mixon situation because he had a pretty bad incident when he was technically a recruit before he even stepped foot on a college football field. There's an altercation with a female and physical altercation. And so we'll have to see. I mean, he was suspended one game, slap on the wrist. We'll have to see how the NFL handles that. Based on talent, he's a top 10 pick, at least on my board right now. We'll see how the NFL handles that. And I mean, everything I've heard from people at Mississippi State, he cares about academics. He's kept his nose clean. Like, it's not something you have to worry about moving forward, but it still happened, and we'll have to see how that affects him.
Ladies, I would just like to apologize if you're listening for the way that college football treats incidents involving domestic violence, including when a head coach lies or covers it up. We don't treat you guys right, and we'd like to apologize. Trust the Tape is the official podcast of women, and we don't appreciate it. I just want you to know that. Back to Ding.
Number 8. Trey Adams, Washington, tackle. I think this guy would have been the first tackle drafted last year, except he tore his ACL in October, had to go back for his senior year. But he's Washington's best player, in my opinion. I think he has a chance to be the real deal as a left tackle. Number 9, defensive lineman. And I think you kind of...
Here they come.
Yeah, you led to it earlier. That Clemson defensive line with all those guys coming back. Dexter Lawrence, I have him as the top guy on that line.
Which one's he? Where's he line up?
He's the 350-pounder who moves like he's about 60 pounds less than that. He's going to benefit from just the planet theory. Yeah, there's only so many human beings on this planet who look like him, who have that weight, who can still move like him, have the power. So he said he played at about 50% strength last year because he was hurt. This year, he's 100%. It's
better prospect than Vita Vea?
Yeah, yeah. I think he brings more pass rush. Vita Vea was such a, you know, the individual parts were really nice, but he didn't always put it together, you know, to impact the game. I think Dexter Lawrence could be that. So I think he's similar to Vea in some ways as a prospect, but I think he's got higher potential, higher ceiling. Number 10, Greg Little, offensive tackle from Ole Miss. He was a top recruit out of high school.
Ole Miss is still getting good recruits after...
It's funny how that works.
After they got in trouble?
Yeah.
Okay. That might be the end of it.
Well, if you want to read all 32, just head over to The Athletic and check them out. I'll just hit a few notable ones here. That's a top 10, but I hit a few notable ones. Noah Fant from Iowa is number 12. His tight end class is not very good, but Noah Fant has a chance to be outstanding. He's that Evan Ingram, you know, big wide receiver type, but he has a chance to have a phenomenal year. Mack Wilson from Alabama, number 14. He's the next Mike linebacker in that Alabama to NFL pipeline.
Wide receivers. Where are the wide receivers? Where are my running backs?
One running back made the list. Also, the only Big 12 player to make the list.
My guy Rodney?
Yeah. Big 12 with Justice Hill, with David Montgomery, they've got some running back talent. But Rodney Anderson was the only one to make the first round. This is not a great... I tell you, 2020, that draft is going to be a great running back draft. This year, 2019, it's not going to be, it's not going to blow your socks off. We might not have a first round running back this year. I love Damian Harris from Alabama. He's more of a day two player. Bryce Love, more of a day two player. And then you look at the underclassmen that could come out. Rodney Anderson, if he can replicate what he did in the final eight games last year for Oklahoma, even without Baker Mayfield and, you know, with teams understanding what he can do, Rodney Anderson has a shot to sneak into that first round. And he has to stay healthy, too. So I think the running backs this year, we might not have a first rounder, but plenty of talent day two. Zach Moss from Utah, keep an eye on him. I promise he's going to be a good player. You asked about wide receivers. I've got the first one at 22, and I went with N'Keal Harry from Arizona State. Big physical possession guy. Reminds me a lot of Mike Williams out of Clemson, who ended up going top 10, but he's just that fearless competitor who isn't going to necessarily create a ton of space, but he's able to win with physicality, with body position. So if he has the season, I think he can, then Harry has a chance to be a first rounder. AJ Brown from Ole Miss, he's a Juju Smith-Schuster in that type of mold as a slot guy at Ole Miss. Deebo Samuel at 25, another wide receiver. He's in that DJ Moore type of style of a wide receiver. Not the
Where's
biggest
he at?
Guy. South Carolina.
Okay.
He's a big-time returner. He missed most of last year with a broken leg, or else I think he would have been a top 40 pick last year. So Deebo Samuel, he made it. Those are the three receivers that made the top 32 list. They're very early top 32 list. But there's plenty of talent at wide receiver. Amon Richards from Miami. I tell you, that's the main reason to watch LSU-Miami is Amon Richards, the Miami wide receiver, who has a chance to be the top receiver this year against Greedy Williams. When those two guys line up from each other, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is there going to be any decent quarterback play in that game?
No, it's going to be like a 16-12 type of game.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be defensive heavy. So
I love when powerhouse college programs can't find capable quarterback play. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
in all of sports.
The theme of this top 32 is defensive line. Like I said at the top, I've got Jalen Jelks in here from Oregon. Draymond Jones from Ohio State, Brian Burns, Florida State, Montez Sweat, defensive end from Mississippi State. So plenty of defensive linemen. If that's what your NFL team, your favorite NFL team needs, it's going to look pretty favorable for you next going into next draft.
All right. What's the next step in our debut of the 2018 college season? Trust the tape here.
Let's do some predictions. Let's do each Power 5 conference and see, kind of predict.
Dude, I'm going to go so chalk on you. It's going to be awesome.
Well, hey, sometimes that's what makes sense. So, okay, let's start at the bottom. Sorry, Big 12.
Yeah, that's easy. OU. Yeah, I'll take OU. You'll have to tell me how either Texas, Oklahoma State, TCU, or West Virginia can threaten. I know West Virginia, going into the year, I would probably say they have the quarterback I'm the highest on with Will Grier.
Best quarterback in the Big 12, I agree.
OU, I'm looking forward to the Kyler Murray games because a buddy of mine, Mike Dingus, I heard him talking about it on a Saturday on 105.3 The Fan, and I agree with him because I think Kyler, with the athlete that he is at OU, there are going to be games against Big 12 defenses where at the end of the day you're going to look up and be like, holy cow, he threw for 300 and he ran for 200.
Yeah.
What a freaking day.
Right.
So, like, I know at 5, what, he's probably what, really, 5'9", 5'10"?
Yeah.
170 pounds?
Probably.
He's going to be a baseball player after this football season's over, but I think it's definitely going to be fun to watch him and Rodney Anderson in that backfield. West Virginia's got the quarterback. Texas, I'll believe it when I see it. And TCU, you're going to have to tell me who they've got to make a push.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I am going Oklahoma. I'm going with Oklahoma over West Virginia. It's ironic. They moved Bedlam to early November to avoid a possible late game.
Because they thought they'd constantly be playing
it. Yeah, and then they have a rematch in the Big 12 championship game the next week. Well, who does Oklahoma face in the last week of the season this year? West Virginia. Good chance we see the rematch in the Big 12 championship game, however that plays out. So I think the two teams that I'm looking, besides Oklahoma and West Virginia, the two teams I'm looking at as Big 12 teams that could emerge, Texas and TCU, two teams that you mentioned. I expect a step forward in year two of the Tom Herman era for the Longhorns. I think Sam Ellinger at quarterback, he's the leader of that team. And so I think that him as a sophomore having a year under his belt is really going to help. They've got speed on defense. They've got two good defensive ends. Gary Johnson at linebacker, Chris Boyd as a corner, I think can take that next step. So Texas has plenty of talent to do it. Whether or not they will, we'll see. I think that they're in that mix. And then TCU, I mean, Gary Patterson's teams, they always threaten 10 wins every year. They got plenty of speed on offense. They've got probably the Big 12's best pass rusher on defense. So they lost their stud defensive tackle in Blacklock. But I think all in all, TCU is going to be in the mix and help decide who wins the Big 12. So I'm going Oklahoma over West Virginia, but Texas and TCU, keep them in on the radar.
Okay, moving to the Big 10. If you're prepared for Big 10 talk, Dane.
Oh, going to from the worst to the best conference. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going alphabetical.
Okay.
Because Big 12 with the numbers.
Sure.
And then Big 10 uses letters. So alphabetically, I'm not going to pick Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State. I'm going to go Wisconsin.
You're looking at my sheet.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because everything that I hear is that that offensive line is the real deal.
The best, they're going to win the Joe Moore Award this year as the best offensive. At least, you know, if everyone stays healthy, they should. It's so much talent. Five future NFL guys on that line.
And with Jonathan Taylor, who is a freshman, runs for almost 2,000 yards at 6.5 a pop and 13 touchdowns. I think that, to me, will be enough. Because I don't think you have great quarterback play in the Big Ten. Like, who, I guess, Penn State gets decent quarterback play?
I think this year, Big Ten's making a resurgence in quarterback.
Is Michigan going to have decent quarterback play?
I actually have an article coming out today on The Athletic how the Big Ten's quarterback drought is about to come to an end in the first round.
Oh, do tell.
They haven't had a first-round pick since 1995. Kerry Collins out of Penn State. That's a long time.
Okay, which one's it going to be?
I gave three options. Nathan Stanley from Iowa, who had the game of his life against Ohio State, and I think he really showed last year that he could be a top prospect. Shea Patterson, Michigan, who he's the type of athlete that could have gone pro in baseball, probably could have gone pro in basketball.
If you wear a number in the 20s, you're not my quarterback.
He's a legit athlete. He just needs to come along in some ways. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be good for him and his development. And then Brian Lewerke from Michigan State, who has a chance to be a first-round type of player. So those three quarterbacks. And then I think you have two dark horses, Clayton Thorson from Northwestern. He's coming off an ACL, but he has a lot of talent. And then Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, Urban Meyer called him the best quarterback recruit he's ever seen. The toolbox is absolutely filled. It's just a matter of, okay, now he's on the field. Can he put it together? We saw him against Michigan. He earned the save when JT Barrett was out. So Dwayne Haskins has all the talent in the world. I think the Big Ten, in terms of quarterback play, is going to make a little bit of a resurgence. But I think
Wisconsin over Michigan in the title game.
Okay, and speaking of quarterback play, Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin, can he just do enough where you could rely on the run game, on that offensive line? We'll have to see, but I agree. I mean, I think Ohio State probably has the most talented roster in the conference, but new starters in a lot of key areas, the coaching turmoil, so I think they'll stub their toe somewhere. Michigan, like I said, they're going to rank top three in total defense in the country again this year. Shea Patterson, a quarterback, I think that's going to help them make a push. The Fighting McSorleys at Penn State.
Oh, yes.
They're
going to
be a solid team even without Saquon Barkley this year. And I can't wait to see Nebraska. With Scott Frost taking over that program, there's a lot of buzz, a lot of energy coming out of Lincoln. So I'm eager to see what they do in year one. But I'm going Wisconsin. Best offensive line in the nation. One of the best running backs. Several veterans on defense. I think they have a manageable schedule. I think the Badgers have a legit shot at the playoff.
Pac-12. Let's see. We got Stanford with Bryce Love. We got Mike Leach at Washington State, who I'd love to pick just because I love Mike Leach. Oregon with your top-rated quarterback on the board. Washington has Jake Browning. Arizona's got a quarterback, don't they?
Khalil Tate, yeah. Kevin Sumlin, year one. See what he can do there.
I pick Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Washington to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I think that's chalk. I think they have the most talent. I think I'm going to lean towards Stanford here. Every couple years, Stanford kind of rises above. Washington, they're loaded. There's no question. They're a quarterback. Veteran quarterback is back. Their veteran running back is back. Left tackle with top 10 ability. Plenty of talent on defense, especially in that secondary. But Stanford brings back the player of the conference with Bryce Love. And I'm a big believer in KJ Costello, their quarterback. He's just a sophomore. but I think he's has a chance to be really, really good. I'm a big believer in him. You mentioned Oregon with Justin Herbert. I think they're going to make some noise. And all these teams are in the Pac-12 North. So the Pac-12 South, USC, I mean, they've got a true freshman starting at quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. We know USC doesn't really rebuild. They reload. Arizona is going to have a say. Utah will have a say in the South. But I think the Pac-12 winner is going to come from the North. And if they're going to have a playoff team, it's going to be one of those teams from the North. I give a slight edge to Stanford here.
Woo! Okay, the SEC. Now, I'm going to shock you with this pick. Nobody's ready for this pick. I will say that the Alabama Crimson Tide will win the SEC.
Breaking news.
Isn't that? And that's a tough pick to make, you know, because they're just, that's a team that really struggles most of the time. I loved Georgia a year ago. But holy cow, you lose Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Javon Wims, Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
Just go down the list, and I'm like all the other awesome schools. They'll reload, and they'll be a good football
Isaiah
team.
Isaiah Wynn on that line.
Isaiah Wynn, my favorite tackle in college football last year. So, yeah, I'll just take Alabama to be the team that reloads the best and goes and wins it.
It's hard to argue with that. I'm going to go Georgia, though.
No, you're not. No.
With Fromm coming back, a quarterback, a sophomore. And look, remember DeAndre Swift last year?
I mean, they have a Ridley, don't they? Is it a Ridley?
Yeah, Riley Ridley. Yeah. At wide receiver. Georgia might have the best wide receiver core in the nation with Riley Ridley. They just got a transfer from Cal, who's one of the best wide receivers in the nation. So I really believe Georgia has a chance to kind of do just enough where they can get past in Alabama, where they can, I think they're the clear favorites in the SEC East, and then good chance they meet Alabama in the SEC Championship. I wouldn't be shocked if they both made the playoff again this year. Now that means two conferences are out, which certainly possible, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if both teams make it, if they're both, say they're both undefeated when they meet in the SEC Championship game, and it's a close game. It's going to be hard to keep that one loss team out.
And I didn't go alphabetically because the ACC definitely would come before everybody else.
Well, and this is also the least suspense, I think.
Clemson is going to win the ACC because their entire D-line's getting picked in the first round.
Yeah, this is the easiest race to call, I think. There's a pretty sizable gap between Clemson and the second-best team in the ACC, which is probably Florida State, Miami. Take your pick. So, yeah, they bring so much back on defense. Quarterbacks really...
Will DeAndre Francois pass away when Clemson plays Florida State?
He just got named the starter, so he's going to be out there. But, I mean, Clemson's got their own quarterback kind of questions. Like Kelly Bryant, he's okay, but he's not going to put the team on the back and lead them down the field. Not that type of guy.
And he was named the starter, right?
He for the starter, for the opening, for the season opener. So they've got a true freshman, Trevor Lawrence, who's supposed to be the truth, kind of waiting in the wings, waiting for Bryant to show a little bit of... struggle a little bit, and if he does, I think there'll be a quick hook, and we'll see Trevor Lawrence. So that's really the only thing that's keeping Clemson from a clear path to the playoff and the ACC title.
Okay, I have a question from Twitter for you, Dane.
All right, what do you got?
Ask Dane if he has any tips for smoking wings. I'm trying them out for my fantasy football draft. That's from Dustin.
Wings are tough because chicken's tough with skin, any type of skin when you smoke it, because the skin will get a rubbery. And
you can just pull the skin off if you like. I've done that before.
Yeah, but is that wing? You know, I think part of the enjoying wings are, you know, all the sauce on the skin, the outside. You want that little bit of crisp. So
I'll handle this, Dane. Cook it at 700 degrees. Turn it over once after a few minutes, and it'll be done. It'll be great.
If you're going to grill wings, then sure, yeah. If you're going to smoke wings, I suggest you marinate in some sauce ahead of time, maybe some Frank's Red Hot, something like that. Marinate a little bit. It'll help get that skin a little moist, so it'll help crisp up. So if you're going to smoke, marinate ahead of time. If you're going to go the grilling route, you can still marinate, but not as imperative to do that.
From Art, is Drew Locke the next Paxton Lynch?
And I guess in what respect? Like, what does he mean?
I don't get to add to their question. That's their question.
I mean, Paxton Lynch, there's...
He threw a lot of screen passes, and some of them were accurate, and he was kind of seemed like Shaggy Doo at the combine, so I knew it was over for him.
And he just doesn't seem to... Football doesn't seem to be his top priority in his life either. Drew Locke, I think he's... the closer comparison, I think, is to a Josh Allen, because the physical traits are outstanding. He's got a great arm. He's a big kid, moves around well. He cares about football. I think he's high football intelligence. So there's a lot to like about Drew Lock. It's just hard in that offense last year to really understand if he understands the complexities of the game, what it takes to play the quarterback position at a high level. So this year, coming in with a new offense, Derek Dooley, I don't know if that's going to help or hurt him as an offensive coordinator, but we'll have to see how Drew Lock does this year. Plenty of opportunity. I think that's a big difference between like a Josh Allen and a Drew Lock. Drew Lock's going to play in the SEC. So we're going to see him against some big-time defenses.
Yeah.
And Missouri plays Wyoming this year. And Wyoming has a couple NFL guys, and we saw that over the weekend with Carl Granderson, who could be a first-round pick, Gufon from Wyoming. And actually, that goes into, I got a question from someone on Twitter. Aside from Ed Oliver, I noticed there weren't any Group of Five prospects in your top 32.
Yeah, you've always hated the Group of Five. You always tell me after we're done, like, man, the thing I hate most is the Group of Five.
Certainly one or two more will get in there. Who could that be? Well, I just mentioned Wyoming has a pair of defensive linemen. Carl Granderson, he is a defensive end, showed up as a 185-pound athlete. He's now a 260-pound monster off the edge. I talked to Andrew Wingard last week, Wyoming's stud safety. He told me he hasn't lost any of that athleticism with all that weight gain, and it really shows off the edge. He's flexible. He can bend, convert speed to power. It wouldn't shock me if we end up talking about him as a first-round pick when it's all said and done with a strong senior year from him. And then his teammate on the D-line, Johanna Gufon, I think I'm saying that right, 290 pounds, defensive tackle, moves really well, former soccer player, only a junior, but I think he has a bright future ahead of him. So some people like Buffalo's wide receiver Anthony Johnson. I do too. I just don't necessarily see a first-round pick right now. Louisiana Tech pass rusher Jalen Ferguson. Again, I don't see a first-round player right now, but he has a shot if he takes that next step as a senior.
We good for the day, Dane?
One more question.
Okay.
The best, this guy on Twitter, best condiment.
And ketchup.
He didn't specify like with what food, just the best condiment.
Is gravy a condiment?
I don't know.
Because if it is, it wins.
Yeah.
So I would go ketchup because I think that mayonnaise is disgusting. Mustard is disgusting.
I agree on mustard.
Ranch is terrible.
It's overrated.
And only ketchup is a decent condiment. And even ketchup, you could put a little bit on a burger or a little bit on a hot dog, or you could obviously use it with fries. But I am just kind of anti-condiment, if we want to be honest with each other. I'm anti-condiment.
I mean, there's so many things that you can't really enjoy fully without a condiment.
Oh, no. Dry things are incredible.
Sandwiches?
Oh, yeah. Sandwiches are great. Burgers are great. You don't need that. The only thing you need to put a little bit of moisture into a burger is three strategically placed pickles.
I agree with pickles. Yeah, that's a must
need.
On your...
That's all you need.
I need some kind of sauce or some kind of...
Slap some cheese whiz on there.
You know? No.
Do what you got to do.
I will tell you, though, I have found the holy grail of condiments.
No, you have.
Yes,
what?
I have.
What?
Whataburger's creamy pepper.
Okay. Okay. And I won't argue with you because if it's at Whataburger, you're probably right. They have the best ketchup, too.
And I found over the summer, they sell it in stores.
Of course they do. And why wouldn't they?
Well, it's actually not very smart because now I don't go to Whataburger as much. Oh. And I spend $3.50 on their bottle of creamy pepper sauce.
That's right. You're still paying them.
Wherever. Yeah. Because it's amazing. I mean, chicken, burgers, fries, whatever. I'm telling you, Whataburger's creamy pepper sauce. You get it at the store. You can order online. I'm not getting paid for this. It's just, it is the holy grail of condiments.
If you want to pay us, Whataburger, or anyone else, we are out here and we are, man, are we ever searching
Jeff
for money.
Jeff has never turned down money.
I've never. Now, I mean, I guess it could happen if you were like a brothel that had bad reviews on Yelp or something.
Hasn't happened yet, though.
No, but it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, if you want to give us some money,
hypothetically,
reach out and, you know, we'll get you taken care of. Now, are you done, Dave?
Yeah, okay, we're good.
All right, episode one of Trust the Tape for this season is in the books. Thank you for listening. Give us a follow on Twitter at DP Brugler for Dane. I'm at JC1053. And if you enjoy this podcast, not a coincidence, a lot of people do. Just leave a 5-star review. 5 stars is the only one. If you want to leave any less than 5, do that on a different podcast. Yeah, just put 5 on ours and then leave a comment with your favorite dinosaur this week, and we'd appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week on Trust the Take.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.